Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and it is my pleasure to be with you again today. And I hope that you are having a wonderful day. I'm bringing you another smart person today. Her name is Christina Eanes. She is a former FBI violent crime analyst and senior manager, now author, speaker, podcaster, and YouTube channel host. She is a self-improvement guru on a mission to help you enjoy developing yourself. Christina, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Absolutely. So this is, I was going to say it's really cool for you to be like a violent crime analyst, but then I'm like, no, that's not really cool at all, because that's kind of an unpleasant job. Which way do you look at it? Was it a cool job, or was it a freaky job, or like, how did that work for you?
I loved it. Because it's all perspective, right? So I got to work with some great folks. I got to work with local, state, federal, and other country law enforcement to help them with their violent crime cases. So not only was I helping them, but I was also helping the victims' families. And it was all solving puzzles, which I love. So yeah, while the subject matter was not so pleasant, what I was doing was working with great people and helping others. So yeah.
It makes sense. And I guess from this perspective, you know, there's the old analogy of you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube once yeah. It's out. Okay. So once a violent crime has been committed, you can't uncommit the crime, but what you can do is you can, as you said, put together the puzzle pieces in the search for justice and, yes. And in the search for answers for the victims' families, as you said. And that's got to be a very powerful thing. To be brutal about it, like, you're dealing with some messed up people, I would assume. Yeah.
Thankfully, I didn't have to, though.
Okay.
I dealt with the cases, right? So the cases and the cops. Okay. So I didn't have to have any kind of face-to-face, which was nice of being an analyst.
Okay.
So made it better.
Yeah, no doubt. That's a layer of separation that I'm sure made it a little bit easier. But the cool thing about that is you're providing tools. You're working together, as you said, with fantastic people and really providing a service that is so valuable to the, not just to the law enforcement, but to, as you mentioned, the victims' families.
Yeah, so, and prevention for future potential victims, right? Get those bad people off the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was great. I loved it.
It's fantastic. And so you have now taken that and you've kind of moved into a new area of kind of self-improvement. And talk to me a little bit about like some of the tools that you're using to help people in their journey on towards self-improvement.
Of course, I'd love to. So the nexus, though, I've always been in some sort of training function. So when I was working as a violent crime analyst, I also taught college on the side. So I've always enjoyed the training, the helping others learn. And when I wanted to grow in the FBI and wanted to get promoted, then I became a senior manager in the leadership development program. So that was a whole new world for me, and I so fell in love with it, training individuals on feedback and coaching and emotional intelligence, that once the kids decided to leave the house, or left the nest, I decided that I would open up my own business, because I've always kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit as well. So then that has led to a lot of different things. So I have 3 different books out, and my company does a lot of different training, and some instructors and myself and some coaches, we go in and do different trainings on like emotional intelligence and giving feedback and coaching others. And then coaching them. And then, of course, I go do speeches and, of course, the podcast and the YouTube channel. Any way I can get that information out to help people essentially get out of their own way.
Sure. So, So what audience are you speaking to? Like, who's your target audience?
Oh, good question. And actually, I have several, because I love to have my hands in so many different pots, right? So part of my business is it's supplementing professional development catalogs of big companies. So we go in and people choose to take workshops and we go in and train those. So businesses. And then the other part is directly to the individual, right? Different ways that I can help them through the podcast and YouTube and the books to help them improve themselves. So I try to kind of hit it at all different areas, right? The professional development in the workplace, and then for the individual seeking to improve themselves, different products that they can tap into there.
Okay. I love it. One of the tools that you use, and this is a very, this was surprising to me, is you use escape rooms.
Yes.
Okay, escape rooms are, I mean, to me, they're a relatively new phenomenon, but probably within the last, it feels like maybe 10 years or so, they've really gained in popularity. How did you make the connection, and how do you make that leap?
I know, it's funny how it seems. So traditionally, escape rooms, which actually aren't, the industry is not all that old, they've been used for corporate team building as in addition to just entertainment. But with my personal and professional development perception, when we started doing escape rooms, I thought, oh, you could learn a lot about yourself doing these. So at first I was like, escape rooms, that sounds silly.
Right.
I could solve a bunch of puzzles on my dining room table here at home. But my daughter really wanted to go. It was her 21st birthday. We went on a trip. And like, okay, fine, we'll go to one. And that was the beginning of an addiction, essentially. So my husband and I have done over 500 at this point.
Wow.
I know. And as we're doing these, we're realizing, wow, there's so much you can learn from them. And so, hey, why not? Let's turn this into another resource for people to learn. And it's fun stories too.
Okay. Now, traditionally, an escape room is something that you go to. Is that, mm-hmm. Are you bringing the escape room to the corporation, or are you taking them out of the office and, you know, Ooh. To a local escape room? What's your modus operandi there?
Hey. So initially what it is it's a whole nother line of blogs and a book for individuals to learn more through what we learn about ourselves when we're going through. So we'll share stories. Perception is reality. The time that my husband was really nervous about a zombie in the room and I was having fun with him. Our perception created a reality. So people learning through those stories. Now, there are some companies that I will bring like escape boxes into the classroom so that people can see how they work together. But other than that, I'll really just refer people out to companies that do specific escape room experiences for the corporate team building. But I'll bring them into all of my workshops and stories and maybe some escape boxes. And did you know you can actually do them virtually as well, like through Zoom?
No, I had no idea. Okay, in this day and age, I should not be surprised that there's anything that we can do through Zoom, because we're doing it all virtually.
But it's
got to be the ultimate in team building, because what you're seeing is that different people have different skills.
Yes.
Different people solve puzzles differently. They mm-hmm. react to stressors differently. What are some of the other elements that you're seeing as you're looking at this? What is it that it's showing you about yourself and about your team?
Oh, yeah. Good question. So with my husband and I, we see ourselves as a team, and we do most of them just the two of us. And so a lot of things... So talking about from the individual and then working with someone else, emotional intelligence is huge, right? So emotional intelligence is being self-aware of your emotions and being able to manage them in such a way that you can be more aware of others' emotions and then also more effectively interact with them. So depending on the escape room experience, it can be a roller coaster of emotions, especially when you look up and there's 5 minutes left on the clock and you look around and it seems like there's like a million puzzles still left to solve, right? Talk about stress, and then what people start snapping at each other. And so what we've done is we've created, we've learned from each experience and realized that 5 minutes can seem like a very long time if you're calm, one, right? If you're not freaking out. And if you're communicating and you're not snapping at each other, because that also creates a lot more emotions. So that would be just one example, is every time we get into a room, we go in with the goal of we're here to have fun. We're here to build a relationship. Where if we get out, that's awesome. And we do 97% of the time. but it's really about really being aware, hyper aware of your emotions and how you can manage them to better interact with others. So that would be one of hundreds of lessons that we've learned in escape rooms and working with others.
So you're saying, though, that there's a purpose in what you're doing. You're saying we're going into this, and because for most people, the escape room is fun. You just go in, you do your thing, but you're saying, what can we learn about ourselves? What can we learn about each other? What can we learn about our stuff? So do you have like a classic division of labor where, like, you know, I do the word puzzles, you do the number, like, do you have that kind of approach to make it systematic?
Yeah, I love that you brought that up too, because that is when you're working with a team, it's really important to let people go with their strengths, right? So it's funny, we'll notice puzzles, different puzzles, like, oh, that's spatial or logical, that's yours. Or this is a word scramble, that's mine, right? So we each have our different strengths, and we know, just step back and let the other person do it. And it's so funny seeing teams that don't communicate that and they don't work off their strengths. I shouldn't say funny, because they do learn. But when you just have everyone just trying to get in there and they're yelling at each other and they're all trying to get their hands on instead of stepping back and going, your turn, right? This is your gift. You do it. It is fascinating watching the different personalities, especially if you're doing it without intention. So that's one of the other things, is we go in and we do these with intention. Okay, last time we were in a room, this is what happened. Let's work on that this time.
Right.
Yeah.
For my own, indulge me here, okay?
Sure.
But when your daughter comes along and you add a new member of the team, how does that affect the dynamic, and how do you address that concept?
Oh, good question. Yeah, because sometimes pre-COVID in the U.S., we would even get thrown in with strangers in rooms. It'll be interesting to see how U.S. escape rooms handle post-COVID. Because in other countries, it's only your group that you're going in with. So with the daughter, we all work very well together. My son, he's not too into these escape rooms, but my daughter, we're all very similar, and we know to step back and just let each person work with their strengths. What's more difficult is when you have an unknown in the room. So it's been fascinating. You actually do learn a lot when strangers are. It may not be as fun. Sometimes it's pleasantly surprising, a division of labor. So one of the first things we'll do is see about the level of experience in the room. You know, some people will be like, I've never done one. So then we'll take on more of a step back and teaching role, mm-hmm. you know, during the process, kind of guiding them through the process. Hey, you should maybe, do you see these numbers anywhere? You know, maybe you should put those into the lock, versus if it's someone who's more experienced, then we'll take a more active role. But it's really fascinating adjusting your role based on that pre-conversation, which is another important thing. Anytime a team is going to embark on working together with something, they should have a conversation on how they're going to work together. So that's one thing that we will do with people we don't know before we go into the rooms.
So you're almost doing a pre-experience assessment to say, oh,
yes.
So you're finding out what their experience level is, what they're good at, and that way it helps you in defining the team roles. What an obvious parallel to business, right?
I know, huh?
Yeah. Fascinating. And the other piece of this is the goal of an escape room is for you to escape. Okay.
Yes.
They set these things
essentially
up. Well, they want it to be challenging, but they set them up in a way that they want you to, because if you go in and you don't get out, you know, if you do that like too many times, you can be like, these are hard.
You don't want to go back.
Like, no, I don't want to go back. There's the thrill of like, yay, we made it. And in your case, 97% of the time that like, when you're doing an escape room, is there a way to communicate with the operator to say like, make it as challenging as possible because we want it to be hard because it's my perception. I've done an escape room a couple times, but sometimes the operator can kind of guide you over so that there's some puzzles you don't actually have to do.
Yeah.
So how can you communicate with them on that?
So, hey, great question too. I love this. So one of the things that we do is we immediately start building rapport with the game master as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll give them a little bit of guidance with us. Hey, you know what? If you see that we're being total idiots, please give us a nudge, give us a hint. Okay. Otherwise, you know, just let us keep going as long as we're on the proper, because they know the timing for different things. As long as we're doing good timing on this, you know, just let us keep going. But hey, again, if you see us being idiots, which we tell them because we want them to be comfortable with that, give us some hints.
Okay. And
yeah,
I would assume that the same thing happens when you're bringing in an escape box to, you're aware of where should they be at what point?
Yeah.
Okay. But, and I mean, I'm assuming again, that's a leadership skill in that as you have a team and they're working on a project, the same thing happens where like, this is where they should be. The problem is that when you're working on a corporate project as a team, you can't skip steps or you can't, but you can give them the nudge. Is that skill set something that you are working with leaders to develop?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. A good leader needs to know when to step in and help, when to get out of the way, right? And when to take over, essentially, if a group is inexperienced, right? And they need someone to role model the process first. So, and though it also depends, though, if a group is having trouble with failure, dealing with it, sometimes I'll actually give them something that it's a challenge too big that they will not make it through, just so we can work through that. Okay, you failed. Now what? You know, how do we deal with this emotionally? How do we deal with this mentally? You know, how do we let go and move forward?
Yeah. What? Okay. So failure is, to me, is such an important thing. We live in a world where people are afraid to let their kids fail. Okay. People are afraid to have that for their, I'm going to say this, I'm not politically correct all the time, but for their child's fragile psyche to be completely smashed by the fact that they were unable to accomplish whatever it was. And so, my experience is that failure is what teaches you the boundaries of your capabilities. And
maybe.
There's
more.
All right. Tell me more.
So actually one of the class or several of the classes that we have are based on growth mindset. So it's Carol Dweck's work. If anyone's interested, her book is called Mindset that presents that. She's a Stanford psychologist professor. So Carol Dweck Mindset. But there's a growth mindset and there's a fixed mindset, and they're on each side of a continuum, right? Those with more of a growth mindset see failure as an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to grow their strengths, right? To gain new skills. Those with more of a fixed mindset believe that you either have it or you don't, right? You can't learn it. So putting in an effort and failure is essentially the total limit of your abilities. So with the growth mindset, it's, you know what, if I want to do that, I can do it. I'm going to have to put in a lot of effort and I'm going to have to overcome challenges, but I can figure out how to do it. And that's actually just another awesome thing that escape rooms teach us, is to see failure as more of an opportunity to learn, you know, like you were saying.
Right. So,
yeah.
Good. Well, let me just say that I was going to, there was more to my sentence and.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, no, at first you are learning the extent of your capabilities, but then there is that the next step of where do you go from here? How do you adjust? How do you grow? And I definitely, I mean, I've told this story on the podcast before, but it's a good story. I have a spinal cord injury So when I was 21, paralyzed from the chest down, when I was in rehab, I remember my occupational therapist said to me, what do you want to do? And I said, like, you tell me what my, like, I know what my, you know what my capabilities are better than I do. So you tell me what the goals are and I'll try and accomplish those. And she said, no, she said, you tell me what you want to do and I'll work with you to accomplish it. You may not do it like you used to do it. You may not do it like everybody else does it. It may take a lot of creativity and a lot of perseverance and determination, but you're able to accomplish what you want as long as you're willing to put in that time and energy and effort.
Yeah.
And that to me is exactly when you're talking about that growth mindset. It says, okay, there are problems here. It's not going to look, it's going to look different for me than it does for everybody else. But at the end of the day, I'm not willing to accept the status quo and say, well, I tried, I failed, I can't, we've got to move forward.
Nice. I love it. Yeah.
It's all right. So I guess the other thing I'm thinking about is how valuable is it to do these exercises outside of the work environment so that you're looking at kind of the similar skills to what happens in the work environment. You've got there's team building, there's leadership, there's problem solving, but it's all done in a safe place. Like it's not done somewhere that if you fail, like you've lost $1 million contract or something.
Yeah.
What's the value as you see it in that type of environment?
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that because it is a safe space, right? It's an opportunity for you to choose what you want to work on and then work on it. And really all you're out is the cost of the escape room if it doesn't work out. And if anything, it's a lesson. So yeah, it's a safe space for you to go in and work on things with others. I mean, you can even take your work team, not take your work team, and just focus on it and set up your own little plan, although you need to be self-directed and motivated to do that to improve yourself.
Sure. Okay. So you mentioned something there that leads me to my another question. And that is, you can use an escape room to help build yourself or to build your team. So I was going to say, does it need to be something that you get everybody from the office and you say, all right, you know, on Thursday after work, we're all going here. Or maybe as a boss to say, you know what, everybody Thursday after lunch, we're all going out and we're doing this together, which is a learning experience. Or for someone to say, hey, I want to become a better problem solver. I guess it's that emotional intelligence. I want to become more self-aware. So I'm going to go do this on my own and to learn about myself. Are there any suggestions you have for that self-awareness, that reflection time afterwards? Anything? Are there exercises or are there things that people can do afterwards to really help them grow from it and it not just be a fun one and done experience?
Yes, I love that question. So my husband and I actually bring a notebook with us. And after each experience, we'll go sit down and ask ourselves, because you can get really caught up in the moment. Right? You can get really caught up in the moment in these situations. So we'll ask ourselves, what did we do well? And what could have we done better? Sometimes we'll also use start, stop, and continue. What do we need to start doing? Maybe in the next experience or in life, what do we need to stop doing? And what were we doing well that we can continue doing? And this just being really honest, right, and reflecting on it, because sometimes you do get lost in the moment, so you almost need to go through the experience again in your head. Now, what's really cool is if the escape room place has time, and maybe this is more for when they're doing a corporate experience, but they'll let you watch the tapes on how if they recorded, depends on the company, right?
Okay.
But maybe if they know ahead of time, they'll record it for you. But you can watch and actually see, because sometimes you're like, ooh. One company, they didn't record, but they had a game master go through the experience with us. They were actually in the room as a character, essentially, but the game master. And they actually wrote down quotes that they thought were funny that people said or things that people did, and they would give an after action report. Okay. To the people going through. So that's another way, right? So if you have a company that does that, but that led to a blog that's actually being written now on, did I say that in the escape room?
Right.
Because sometimes you don't know what's going, you know, what comes out of your mouth.
Sure. What? This is just my thought process on it. And that is, so many times I've done a handful of escape rooms, and my experience has been that you talk about the activities, but you don't talk about what's going on underneath the surface there. Is that, I'm assuming that's what you're building for, to say, okay,
yes,
don't just look at what happened, but look at what that teaches you either about yourself or your team. Is that right?
Yes, great question. So to clarify on that, it's not like, you know, how did I approach this puzzle? Did I do it well? It's, how did I interact with others? How did I manage my emotions? So it's looking at how we're showing up, not necessarily what we're doing, but how we're being is our focus during those reflections.
Okay. You said not how we're doing, but how we're being. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So like, for example, different minds focus on different things, right? So my husband has a very analytical mind. So he'll start dissecting, you know, how he approached a certain like cipher puzzle. I'm like, okay, so you can think about what's going on in your head and approaching that for problem solving, but let's look at how did we best interact with each other? So how were we being as human beings, right? So did we cut each other off? Did anyone get like a snarky tone,
right?
Or did we sit and take the time to listen to what the other one was saying or step back when we needed to step back? So we would look at that. How are we showing up as human beings, essentially interacting with each other?
Yeah, that thing that says like, yeah, oh, this is mine. Like, you get out, get away from it, you know? To go back to what you were talking about earlier, when you add the dynamic of other people being in the room, when it's just the two of you, there's a way that you can interact with each other. But when you bring other people in, whether it's your daughter or, you know, strangers, being able to include them as a part of the team, even if they don't have the same strengths that you do, and to make them feel valuable and to make it a valuable experience for everybody.
Yeah.
But also have them as part of the solution, so that it's not like, I was here, but like these two people who are really good at escape rooms, they got us out and I was just there and I watched them do this. Having that, being part of the team is still a very valuable thing as well. Does that make sense at all?
Totally. Yeah.
Okay. This has been a fascinating conversation. I will honestly admit when I was looking through the show notes beforehand, I was like, man, I don't know how this conversation is going to go, but it's been super interesting. Listen, Christina, if people are looking to get a hold of you, where can they find out more information about you, about your books, about your speaking, your podcast, all that stuff?
Oh, thank you. So the main website is ChristinaEanes.com, and that links to all of the other things, the podcast, the first and second book. The third book, it also links to that, is lifeisanescaperoom.com. So if they're really interested in that, they could go there.
Okay. I will put links to all of those in the show notes so that people can easily find you. And just fascinating, and I love it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So we have come to three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these?
I hope so.
What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Oh, it changed a lot. I guess the most was a marine biologist.
Okay, when I was a kid, I had no idea what a marine biologist even was. But yeah, that works as long as it makes you happy.
Yeah.
So did you ever have a nickname?
Chrissy.
Chrissy, okay. And did a number of people call you that, or was it like that was... there was just one or two particular people that called you by your nickname?
Everyone up until I started in law enforcement, then I went by Chris.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because my kids, I gave each of them a nickname when they were born. And like it's, and the three of them, no one else calls them by those names. Those are, so they know that when you get this, that's dad. That's just how he is.
Same with me. Yep. Yep.
All right. Last question. Potato salad. Okay. When it comes to a summer picnic, is the potato salad essential? Is it a nice side dish, or is it something that you could do without?
Can I pick somewhere in the middle? It's enjoyable.
Okay. So it's a nice side dish.
Yeah. Right? There Nice side dish.
Yeah. So that's the three. It's not, because I'll tell you a backstory. We had a picnic planning meeting at church one time.
Uh-oh.
And one of the ladies who made potato salad and told us that it was an essential, that if you didn't have potato salad, people wouldn't come to the church picnic. And so I, on the other hand, I don't eat potato salad. I can do without it. Whereas you're right in the middle. Say, hey, it's nice. It's a good addition, but we go from there. Christina,
I'll still go to the picnic.
Okay. Christina Eanes, you've been a phenomenal guest. I appreciate you being here. I hope that folks have learned from this and been encouraged that whether it's taking your organization to go do an escape room to see what you can learn about each other, or just taking the opportunity to not just go do this as a fun exercise, but to do it as something where you are having that, increasing your self-awareness, learning more about who you are and how you operate with stress and with problem solving and with leadership and all of those things. What a great idea. Thank you for being here. To all my listeners, I appreciate you being here. If this has been something that you've enjoyed, something that you've learned from, we would appreciate a review on Apple Podcasts. That would be phenomenal. And in the meantime, I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.